I see you looking at my picture laughing. All right. This week's sermon, we're going to be in Acts chapter. We're going to finish 4 and go into 5. And actually, I'm overlapping a few scriptures from last week. But I didn't intentionally do that, but it's important that we cover the end of 4 as we go into 5. So as you find your way in the Bibles, that's fine. If not, the scriptures should be on the screen. As long as technology will allow it, we will provide it. NIV this week, you know, last week was ESV. That's the Bibles that I study out of. I study out of ESV. And sometimes the wording is just a little bit different, but the wording will strike me or speak to me from one version to another. So I'm not version specific. I am God's word specific. Does that make sense? I like to hear from God. And sometimes it uses the NIV, sometimes it uses ESV, NASB. If you go to my office and look on there, I got every BV there is. And if you come around Wednesday and watch me study, they're all spread out on the desk. Because I like to see the interpretations. And I tell you, you know, they didn't let me interpret the Bibles because I use exclamation points too much. But as I read it, I will still say it in my own tone. So what we're going to do is, I just want to read this chunk of scripture, because if you get anything out of it, you at least heard some scripture today. So we're going to read 4:32 all the way through 5:10 or 11. It's kind of a long one, but we'll go back over it too. So all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possession was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you have received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of such a thing? You have lied, or you have not lied to men, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who had heard what had happened. Then a young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the lamb?" "Yes," she said, "this is the price." And Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look," there's an exclamation point, "look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who had heard about these events. Okay, so I read that fairly monotone because I didn't want to put too much inflection on the words, and I didn't want to give away my sermon before I started preaching it. I promise it'll get more in depth. But listen, last week we talked about boldness, didn't we? We talked about being bold for Christ. And Peter and John were in jail. They went to jail because they were preaching Jesus resurrected. That they healed the man. Remember, the man was a beggar, and they healed him. And they just said, you know, "Go to where I don't have it. What I have is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and in his name stand and walk." And they did. Right? So they gave him Jesus. And they were arrested for it. And they were told not to preach it. And what they do, as soon as they left, they went to all their friends and they all gathered together and they prayed. And they didn't pray for an easy life. They didn't pray for the Sanhedrin to go away. And they didn't pray that God would make them leave. They prayed that God would make them courageous, make them bold, so that they could face the situations of the day. Because they knew they had to preach what they had seen and heard. They had to. And they even said that, you know, "I have to preach this. I have seen, I've witnessed, I've heard." And so they were bold. And then, I didn't really understand why this was linked to boldness, but we're going to touch on it. Because after that, they spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers, this is 32, were one in heart and mind. And I talked about how awesome that would be if the big church, the capital C, everyone that claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, what if we were all of one heart and mind? How awesome would that be? How great would that be? What kind of impact would we have, not just on little old Mount Gilead, but the entire world if all of us were of one heart and mind? What if we said, hey, I don't care what color the carpet is. I don't care what kind of church building you have. I don't care if you got bells. I don't care if you got deacons. I don't care what you got. We all have Jesus. We're of one heart and mind. What would we do? How would we throw off that hindrance? I think we'd be pretty bold. I think we'd be pretty bold. I think it would be pretty awesome too. So all the believers were of one heart and mind. No one claimed that any possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus, and much grace was upon them. Let's look at 34 here. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had needed. Now, I don't know if your Bible has like a little reference, like a little number over that or not, but I'm going to tell you what this is about. In Deuteronomy, so if you have your, if you have any notes or anything, just write this down because I can't go look at it. Deuteronomy 15:4 is what this is referencing. Okay? Where it says there are no needy among them. All right? No one was in need. This is an Old Testament reference to the Israelites. Okay? Where everyone was going to have what they needed. So the apostles knew that, and they were taking great strides to make this possible in their own little community. This has also been twisted to socialism and communism, so don't get so crazy, all right? But think about what it is like if no one, just look at our room, just look around. What if none of us had a need because of our sacrifices for one another? If we saw someone had a need, what if we were able to fill that? And I talked about that a little bit last week, how bold that would be, wouldn't it? So none of them had need. And from time to time is what I want you to see here. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he needed. There's a couple things I want you to see here. From time to time, that doesn't mean always, okay? Does it mean as soon as they got something, they sold it and gave it away? Okay, so from time to time, as the Lord led, as they felt the need or the desire, or it was laid upon their heart, they sold some of their houses or lands or whatever they had, and then brought the money to the apostles. Why? Why would they bring money or whatever they got to the apostles? Because the apostles were the ones who were distributing the needs, right? So think about this as it transpires or it translates into church, right? We pass around an offering plate. There is a need somewhere. And the apostles or the people that are chosen to lead the church distribute that money, right? So that's the same kind of idea. That's what we're doing. You know, or if someone comes to me and says, hey, Nathan, I don't have any money. Me neither, right? But I can really, really sing. Like, awesome. Let me show you or introduce you into some people that can get you up on the stage and use that voice for the Lord. Or if someone says, hey, I cannot sing. That's me. I can't sing. I make a joyful noise from my chair and I pray for the people around me that can hear it. Okay? So, but if someone comes to me and says, hey, I can fix just about anything that's broken. Just about anything that's broken. And then I know someone is in a need. There has some, like a car repair or something like that. I can get them in touch with one another. Right? So the same kind of thing that the apostles are doing. They're bringing the money to the apostles. And they're saying, hey, you know who has a need. You know who is in need now. So distribute this. Don't hold on to it. Give it away. Give it away. Two things are happening. The apostles are giving away what's given to them. But the people are giving away what they have. Right? It's got to come down to a realization that what we have isn't ours, right? It says they sold their land and sold their houses. Those weren't theirs. It was a blessing.
right? Some of us are blessed materially more than others.
Some of us are blessed in talents more than others. That's the great thing about the church. We are one body made up of many parts. Where one of us is lacking, another one excels. That is why this picture works so well. I love to see this. They were all working together. They were one heart and one mind. Okay? Notice that there wasn't like one little cell. They weren't like just little factions working independently. They were all of one heart and one mind working together for the common purpose. And the purpose at this time, was to provide for the needs of the needy and to be bold and preach Jesus. To be bold and preach Jesus. So let's look at 5. And this, go back to my picture, Chris. Can you do that? I might be messing with my techies. Liar, pants of fire. I had no idea what I was going to name the sermon. And Charity asked me, she's like, hey, every Sunday mornings, what's your sermon title? What's your scripture? So I can help get it on the computer. I said, I don't have a title. And I told her what I was preaching on. She goes, liar, liar, pants on fire. So now that's the name of the sermon, liar, liar, pants on fire. It was more clever than anything I came up with. So, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira. I have a little bit of an accent, so I say it different than y'all might. But it's Sapphira, right? Also sold a piece of property. So they're following the example of Joseph, a Levite, right? They're also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. But he brought the rest to it and put it at the apostles' feet. So, Ananias and Sapphira, they have this piece of property, and they say, okay, we're going to sell this. We're going to follow the example of everyone else. We're going to sell this property, and we're going to bring a portion of the money to the apostles. Right? They're going to bring a portion of it and give it to the apostles and lay it at their feet. What I love here is it says, with his wife's full knowledge. No one sells anything without their wife's full knowledge. Just throwing that out there, right? No, this is a partnership. They're together, all right? So with his wife's full knowledge, they've sold this and they bring part of the money and put it at the apostles' feet. But some they keep for themselves. And Peter says to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? So I can only speculate here that Ananias and Sapphira had made some sort of covenant with someone or with God. And I don't think it was with Peter, though. I think Peter is speaking a prophetic message right now. I think the Holy Spirit is indwelling in Peter, and he's saying, that's not what they got. Right? I think the Holy Spirit, you know, like you get that gentle nudge, or you get that voice. Maybe it's just me, but I get a Holy Spirit voice in there. He's like, it sounds like. And he said it to Peter, he's like, they got more. And Peter looks at him, he's like, how? Ananias, how? Almost, I hear him pleading, he's like, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart? You would lie to the Holy Spirit and keep for yourself some of the money you've received from the land. Now, none of us have ever done that before. None of us have ever denied giving back to God what He's given us, have we? I've done it. I'll speak for you. I've done it. I'm not perfect. I've done it. And especially as I was a new Christian or a budding Christian or an infant Christian, whatever you want to call it, as I was trying to find my way through this incredibly difficult walk, I have done it. I've withheld. I had withheld my gifts. I withheld my talents. I had withheld like physical money. You know what I mean? Because that's mine. Right? It was mine, and I was doing them a service by giving just a portion. You can have some of it, I don't care, but this one is mine, right? We do that with our hearts. God wants your heart. God desires your heart. If you hear anything out of this sermon this morning, I want you to know that. God wants your heart. God doesn't care about your money. God doesn't care about your talents or your times. It's more about the heart that's involved in it. Okay, He wants you to physically give back everything that He's given to you. Everything. He wants your heart. And that's why I think Peter's crushed. He's like, how is it Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit? You've kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? Now I hear him just being a little bit. Love Peter. I'll tell you 100 times, I love Peter. He's me. Wasn't that yours before you sold it? And didn't you say you were going to give us everything? And here you are with part of it? Right? He's kind of questioning. He's like, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. He's saying, you're not lying to me because God's going to take care of me. You're not lying to this community because God's going to take care of this community. You're lying to the Holy Spirit by withholding a portion of your heart and allowing Satan to infiltrate and live there. Can I just tell you, this is not a tithe sermon, by the way, but can I tell you that I know people who work in a church, okay? Their money literally comes from God, and they don't tithe. Can I tell you that I know people who have been raised in church and know better from the time they were preschoolers running up the stairs all the way to their adulthood. They know what they're supposed to give to God, and they don't. And I just pray for these people. Because I don't care about the money. It's not having anything to do with the money. It's about the heart. Like, how many sermons have you heard and did nothing with it? How many sermons have we preached, or have I preached, that I didn't do anything with? You know? And I worry about that. Guys, we have a responsibility to be respondent, to be disciplined. You know, it does us no good to know anything unless we're going to do something with it. It has to be an application. And that's why I hammer application so much, because knowing something doesn't do us or anyone else any good. If I have this knowledge inside my head that Jesus saves and that there's a cross, and that He will throw our sins as far as the east is from the west and forgive us and allow us to live with Him in eternity, and I don't tell anyone, that is such a waste. That's a heart issue. It doesn't have anything to do with my personality. It doesn't have anything to do with boldness. It's completely in my heart. I'm holding on to something that God gave me and not giving it back, and I don't know why. And I'm not saying I now, because if you've seen me in public, I tell this about anybody I know. Hey, what's your name? I'm Nathan. You know Jesus? Right? Because I just got that personality. What I'm saying is, when we hold back, we are like Ananias and Sapphira. We're intentionally withholding from God. So we're looking at 5. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And here's an understatement. And great fear seized all who had heard what had happened. That's almost like saying, and Jesus was hungry after He was in the desert for 40 days and He didn't eat and drink. That's the biggest understatement ever. Can you imagine the fear? Okay, if everyone came and laid money down at my feet, and then someone comes in a little bit later and lays money down, and I say to them, hey, that's not everything, and they die. Just, y'all gonna be scared. I'm giving him everything. I don't know how he did it, but the dude died. Right there. Right? So fear. Fear is going around. Fear is going around. The young men, they came and they wrapped up the body and carried him out and buried him. Which is odd, but I won't get into the theology of that. That's a rabbit you don't want to chase with me. So, 7. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, y'all ever done this? You know something? Let's be a parent for a second.
You know the answer if you ever ask your kid, hey, tell me about this. Tell me about, I always do that to my kids. I don't want to say, hey, what happened? I'm like, tell me about why your brother's crying. Well, and then I don't even get past the second well. I'm like, I know why your brother's crying, right? But that's what Peter did. He's like, so, is this how much money you got? And he gave her an opportunity to come clean is what he's doing. He gave her an opportunity to say, well, no, that's not. He gave her an opportunity to tell the truth, didn't he? Peter could have been like, oh, hey, your husband's dead because he lied to me. So tell me the truth. He didn't. So he says to her, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said. See, if I'm translating, there's an exclamation point. Yes, of course. That's the price. And Peter says to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. And at that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Okay, just to recap. Two people dead within 3 hours for denying the Holy Spirit what he deserved. A husband and a wife, they worked together. And they decided, we're going to hold back something that has been given to us. Something that wasn't even ours, right? We sold something, and now we have this money. We're going to hold back a piece of it because you never know, right? You guys got savings accounts, don't you? You never know when you might need that savings account. I'm not preaching against savings accounts. What I'm preaching against is intentionally withholding from God something that is His. Okay? So the men, she fell down dead, and that the men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. The next understatement. Great fear now has seized the whole church and all who had heard about these events. I want to talk about the fear. We got time? We can look at fear a little bit. What kind of fear were they facing right now? Okay, I kind of teased a little bit about how afraid you would be if people... I picture just Peter's kind of sitting there. He's in his lawn chair. No, they didn't have lawn chairs. But now he does. Peter's in his lawn chair. And they're just like, oh, hey, here's the money. You know, and he stands up and he says, Ananias, why has Satan taken hold of your heart? Dead. Right? The people are looking at this and they're seeing it. And then the same thing with Sapphira. You know, he stands up this time and he says, is this the price you got? Yeah, it's the price we got. Dead. Right? So there will be fear because two people just died. Right? But I want us to talk more about the fear of the Lord and a healthy fear of the Lord. Too many people have a picture of God as a man sitting upon a throne with I don't know, maybe he's got a staff or a rod or a wizard's staff. I don't even know what he's got. But so there's a picture of him and he's sitting up there and he's like, gotcha. You remember that? 1983. It was April 4th. You sinned. But that down. It was like Matt was talking about today. It was like 1,254,000. Blah, blah, blah. Right? So they got this picture of God. And then they see him. And he's sitting there. And he's like, oh, you're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. Did it. Nailed you. Right? That's not God. That's not my God. That's not the God I read about in the Bible. Now, I want you to... I want you to know that my God is all-knowing and all-seeing and all-powerful. I want you to know that my God is perfect, the great authority, and a judge. Okay? Would you prefer a judge that was so lenient that every guilty person got off for free? Or would you prefer a judge that was so strict everyone was guilty? Or would you like a middle-of-the-road judge where the guilty were given an opportunity to be rehabilitated and pay a penance for their sins? See, we have
a God who knows everyone is guilty, but loves them anyway. And what he said is, okay, they can't do this. They're all guilty. They can't make it to me. There's a gap, and I love them so much. What am I going to do? So he decided, okay, this is probably the most untheological sermon you've ever heard. I'm just picturing God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They're kind of in a little huddle, right? All right. They stink. They sin. What are we going to do? And Jesus is like, I got it. I'm going. I'm going to do it. And the Holy Spirit's like, I'll go with them. So they come up with this plan, and then God says, are you sure? And Jesus is like, I want to sacrifice myself for their sins. See, he knowingly and intentionally made that, I talk in cop terms sometimes, he knowingly and intentionally made that decision. He said, I know what it's going to cost me, and I want to do it anyhow. He said, I'm going down there. I'm going to live a perfect life. I'm going to show them what it looks like. I'm going to lead by example, and then I'm going to be on a cross. And on that cross, I will bore every sin of every man who has been born and will be born until the day we make it anew. See, I'm afraid of that God. I'm afraid of a God that has that kind of power. And it's not like I'm cowering in a corner afraid. It's more like I respect him so much. Let's talk about kind of a parental a thought of God being, I'm afraid of letting my dad down, my literal physical dad. I hate the thought that I would let him down. Okay? And that makes me kind of afraid. Like I don't want to be that kid, you know what I mean? I don't want to be that son. So that kind of fear, it's a healthy fear to respect. Right? So when we talk about the fear of the Lord, I don't want you to be so afraid of God that you find him unapproachable. Or that you find him to be a judge or someone that is up there just pointing his finger at you, because he knows that you don't deserve him, but he loves you enough that he sacrificed his son. So he says, you know what? No, you don't deserve me, but I love you enough. Come into my presence. Come into my presence. And that's something that Ananias and Sapphira missed. They thought they could do something with what they held on to. They seriously thought God was going to let them get away with it. They thought they could hold on to their peace and do something just for them with it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Are you doing that right now? What are you holding on to? What's keeping you from giving your very, very best to the Lord? Some people, it's just downright pride. Others, it's kind of embarrassment. And other people just want to... This was me. I'll talk about me before I became a Christian. I could do this myself. Right? You ever done that? You can do this yourself. No. We can't. I don't know how any person makes it through this life themselves, and I guarantee you they don't. They don't. Whether they recognize God's presence or not, he's there. See, God isn't just with the saved. He's with the lost too. And he walks with them. And he tries to encourage them. And he tries to nudge them. And he tries to use us in a lost world as his mouthpiece or as his example. Ananias and Sapphira refuse to follow the examples around them. I pray that we lead by example. I pray that we are a church. This is a small C. This is Open Arms I'm talking about. I pray that we are a church of an example, that we lead our community by an example. Coming here on Sunday mornings is awesome. Going out there on Monday morning is hard. It just really is hard. It's tough. And for those of you that got real jobs, like people come to me. I sit in an office. People come to me. I'm expecting you to go to them, right? It's tough. And it's not me. I don't expect you to. God does. Jesus does. He says, I've given you this, whatever it is, your time, talent, or tithe. Okay? He's given it to you. He says, I want you to use it for my glory. Will you do it? No, that's all he's asking you. And then later, I hope, when you get to heaven, and he's standing there, he's like, tell me about this. You don't have one of those children's moments like, well, no, But I did, but God, listen, hold on, before you get all excited, I did get this, right? Okay, I hope that we're able to just be like, God, that was awesome. I'm so glad you used me in that situation. And I just pray that we're able to give an account that doesn't, y'all, when God rolls my highlight reel back, we're going to be there for a minute. So if you're behind me in the line, I'm sorry. But I just pray that our highlight reels are shorter and we're just able to say, yes, God, I was obedient. And I'm thankful for what you gave me. And I pray whatever I gave back to you, you were able to use for your glory. That's what it's about. It's about using what you have for His glory. Ananias and Sapphira were not denying men money. They were denying the Holy Spirit their hearts. Don't deny the Holy Spirit your heart. The Bible says it. If you don't praise, the rocks will. Don't get beat by the rocks. Right? That kind of hurts my feelings. Yeah, I make a joyful noise from my chair and I tease about it. But really, the gravel out there could praise better than me sometimes. Let's not get beat by the rocks. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your gifts. I thank you for what you've trusted us with. And I pray we are completely obedient with what you've given us. And I pray that when we give back to you, that you're able to use whatever it is that we give you for your glory, for your kingdom, for your will. And that one day when we see the other side of the tapestry and see how it all came together and how our one little act of obedience was able to fulfill a lifetime of glory. I'm just so excited for that, God. I pray for the hearts of the men and women that are represented here this morning. I pray that as you nudge us, as you use the Holy Spirit to guide us, that we listen with open ears, open minds, and open hearts. That you stretch us, but don't break us. And that you will receive all the glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm going to have the praise team come back up here. We're going to sing another song. And I'm going to have the elders come up here, and we're going to be available to pray with you. And this doesn't... They call it an altar call, because I'm calling you to the altar. But this doesn't have to be a salvational issue. It doesn't have to. If you want to talk about your salvation, I would love to talk to you about it, and so would these guys. Or if you just got something on your heart that you need to pray for or pray with, we're here for that. If you don't want to pray up front, okay, you can pray right there. Or there's kneelers up here, you can use the kneelers. Basically what I'm telling you is, you are available to pray when and where you want to. And if you want us to do it with you, we're available. So if you would, let's stand and sing another song.